I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Oh, what a silly hack!
Yelling it doesn't make it true. Yeah.
That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here on your actual Friday, 2nd of December. 2022, and so if you were listening yesterday in the 6 a.m. hour, you heard a great obscure Killers, the Killers, the group, Christmas song, Don't Shoot Me Santa, which is should be on your weekend decorating playlist. But the Killers don't stop there. Have you heard their Cowboys Christmas Ball song?
I have a feeling I'm about to.
You are. If you'd said, yeah, it's okay, I wouldn't have played it. But you haven't heard it. It's pretty good. It's got a real... You have to have a xylophone or bells or sleigh bells.
Way out in old Nevada, where the Truckee's waters flow, where the cattle are browsing and the Spanish ponies grow, where the north has come a-whistling from beyond the neutral strip, and the prairie dogs are sneezing as if they had the grip.
Where it's got a real... Western theme. Unlike Stevie Wonder, this has a chorus, though. Okay. It has to do with Christmas. So it's not 2 minutes of wandering around like Stevie Wonder does that great song.
Yes. So wait, the Killers have an entire Christmas album?
It's not an album. They just have released. It's funny. I get the feeling when you see those guys in their videos during concert, they really enjoy what they do for a living. And it's not like it's work for them. And every once in a while, they'll crank out. In fact, they have two happy Christmas songs, because Don't Shoot Me Santa Claus ultimately is happy because Santa doesn't shoot him. And then this one is a happy, happy song. Then they have Christmas in L.A., which is Owen Wilson or whatever. What's the more famous of the two Wilson brothers? Anyway,
yeah, Owen, I think.
Yeah, it's just a really depressing song. I don't like Cowboy Christmas Ball. This is the chorus. A very festive you could shop with that happening, yeah, playing in the background.
I like the xylophone there.
So anyway, why'd he stop it then if he liked it so much? Well, okay, see, this is, if you heard this in the background, you'd continue your purchasing your wares.
I would drink spiked eggnog to this.
And it's a good song. So anyway, that's that. I'll tweet that out. You know what I realized yesterday? To me, the Christmas tree farm is you can fail at that. You can be a great experience or it can be a fail. I was talking yesterday about this is the time of year that you can get the Christmas tree permit to go out in the woods and cut your own tree. But it's not the tree that you think it will be. Because this is a wild tree and you just cut it down, the whole thing. But I've been to Christmas tree farms. Now, I don't want to name names, but outside Monroe, there was one that we went to for a couple of years. And they almost made it like they were doing you a favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the best, because if you're, especially if you're a kid, and I'm talking about the ones where you know, they hand you a Sven saw or whatever, and then you cut it down and all that. For a kid, that's a great experience. You know, it's not tromping around the woods finding a really disappointing tree because you're too cold and you just take the next thing that you see and, you know, and all that. But you got to have, I got to say, you know, help me help you. Have spiced cider. Have that standing by, or hot chocolate for the kids. The spiced cider doesn't complain if it gets a little Kentucky windage poured in it. And you do all that, and then it's fun for everybody, and it's great because you take your time, you walk around, you pick the right tree, you know, and then
why not? Well, how much? I'll knock off $2 because I can see you're a man who knows his trees.
This isn't one of those trees that all the needles falls off, is it?
No, that's impulses.
The old man loved bargaining as much as an Arab trader, and he was twice as shrewd.
What's that from?
Christmas Story.
I literally have never seen it.
Come on, Brian.
I've tried.
You've tried, not hard enough, apparently.
It looks too sticky.
I've probably seen it 36 times.
And then the sequel, all the originals are now the ones who survived Hollywood or whatever are in the sequel.
I'm
going to
skip
that?
The sequel on HBO Max.
But it's a fun experience, I would say. But you got to go to the right place. And there is one, there's like that Christmas village in Bothell. Sort of that is very good at that.
Bothell's a Christmas town.
It really is. Yes. There's some great actually the downtown Bothell is really fun.
Take the kids to get a ranch drive-in burger and a chocolate caramel shake, my favorite when I used to work there, and then go by the Christmas tree farm and
do
get something to decorate your home.
I think I saw a live shot. They were showing Stevens Pass last night, and saw a live shot of Leavenworth, and it looks great. Brand new snow. I've been up there before where it snowed a month ago, and month-old snow just looks like crap.
And no bear attacks this time of year.
Yeah, none. Way fewer anyway. I assure you of that. Well, so don't worry, folks. You might. Is that me?
I thought that was your ominous segue music.
No. Don't worry. We're going to get revenge on Vladimir Putin sooner than you think. How come I navigated away from that? Because on Sunday, that was me.
There it is again.
Oh, geez. OPEC Plus is meeting on Sunday. Why are they meeting on Sunday? Because on Monday, the Russian oil embargo goes full legit in Europe. And so Vladimir Putin is not going to make the money he was making to fight his war. OPEC Plus is going to meet. They're going to cut production again. That might have maybe on Monday. It might have an immediate effect on gas prices. We don't know, but that is what's happening. And yet, I love how this is what the EU does. They'll publicly, like Macron goes to the White House last night and he says, we are united against the evil of Vladimir Putin invading Ukraine, the whole thing. But no one wants to mention that Belgium makes chocolate and they buy diamonds. And immediately when the EU 11 months ago or 10 months ago was voting on the very, very damaging sanctions against the Russian economy, and we'll choke him, we'll choke off his war effort. Belgium raised their hand. They said, well, Antwerp, Belgium is the world's epicenter of diamonds, of raw diamonds, and we want to continue. I'm not doing an impression
You've
of anyone.
We've got a friend in Belgium.
We've got many friends in Belgium. Hi, I'm Vladimir Putin. And so the Belgians still get to buy, I guess Russia is one of the world's top exporter of raw diamonds. And they're paying for stuff in raw diamonds because no one, that's a currency, by the way. It's almost an artificial currency, but people pay money for the darn things. This is the diamond season, isn't it? And so they will pay for stuff and junk like the 10 times a week, one of the world's largest cargo aircraft lands in China and from St. Petersburg or Moscow. They literally are handing the Chinese diamonds for weapons, and they load the plane up and fly weapons back to Russia. And the Chinese then take the diamonds to Belgium, to Antwerp, Belgium. And so that's the one workaround there. And there's a whole bunch like that. But Putin's primary income source is the oil thing. And so now, because, and if you're saying, well, wait, if the Europeans embargo his oil, what does he care how much you produce? Because the Chinese are middlemanning it. He brokers his oil through China. And because it turns out China wasn't in the meeting. So anyway, I say revenge because I don't know where they got this information. They don't really make it clear, but New York Post right now has a headline. If you go to nypost.com, the headline is Vladimir Putin. See, they always do very, very powerfully clever stuff like that. Russian strongman fell downstairs, soiled himself as speculation over worsening health grows, according to a report. Just in case anyone needed a finer point put on it, that's Greg with a finer point. Russian President Vladimir Putin fell down the stairs.
If you think all pads are exactly the same.
I always have because I've never used a pad. Russian president.
Can you control your computer over there?
I can't.
Got a mind of
well,
its
these
own
are pop up. They know that this is talk about clickbait.
Mute the site.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can, but then that mutes everything. Anyway, they're claiming he fell down stairs and soiled himself. His health, there's speculation his health is declining. He suffered the unfortunate fall at his Moscow official residence Wednesday evening, according to the Telegram channel General SVR, which purports to be run by a former Russian spy. The SVR, by the way, is the overseas intelligence branch of the KGB, which some call the FSB now. The ailing Russian leader allegedly fell down 5 steps before landing on his tailbone, or coccyx. Although his security guards immediately rushed to his aid, the impact of the fall caused Putin to, quote, involuntarily defecate, close quote. This doesn't sound real. I know the channel. It's a good source for information out of Ukraine, but I don't think Putin's alimentary canal is a stuff of discussion on that one. Not quite sure. Speaking of that, what about Pulisic's pelvic contusion? The latest from Christian Pulisic, the American soccer phenom, his the region on his body where he actually was kicked. That's thing one and know it all.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know it all. First thing.
Okay, I don't want to find out if it could hurt worse, but that goal against Iran that Christian Pulisic, followed up with his body, the Iranian guy, first of all, looked full on like he was trying to kick him in the doodads, but he overshot and he got the region that it's an unofficial word you don't say on the radio.
Okay.
I ain't going to say it.
And the reports are that he suffered a pelvic contusion.
Yeah.
He denies that he was hit in the family jewels.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what the benefit is to denying that. Do you think they're making up a story here?
Well, he rolled and he had, he was holding them. Or maybe he was holding his pelvic contusion. I don't know.
But some are saying you're more a hero if you got hit in the sweet spot rather than around the sweet spot.
I know. I would say, yep, it was exactly what it looked like. I put some ice on them, but I'll be good to go on Saturday. Because, I'm going to say, besides an NFL punter, if a professional, a world-level goalie, him kicking you there, it's a miracle you're alive. Frankly, but I wouldn't minimize and say no, I wouldn't get kicked there. Just a little be. He went a little long on that.
They're hopeful that he'll return for action on the pitch tomorrow.
He says he's starting.
Yeah, we'll see.
We didn't do this story, but it's viral enough that you probably saw it. But the guy, the furniture store owner who fired everyone by email and oh yeah, this is thing two. Sorry about that.
Second thing.
If you remember earlier this week, United Furniture, which is in Ohio, owned by David Belford, a wealthy Ohio businessman, fired 2,700 workers through text and email while they slept earlier this week, has disappeared. Authorities are saying, well, he hasn't been reported as missing. He's disappeared after squabbling with the company's board and bankers over whether to file for bankruptcy. This is, again, the New York Post. David Belford, the wealthy Ohio businessman, has kept mum since the layoffs of his entire workforce, despite efforts by lenders and lawyers representing the workers to reach him. No one has heard from the owner. He's not returning anyone's phone calls. It's such a horrible situation, close quote. One source with knowledge of the situation told the post. If I were him, I would reasonably be fearful after being a jerky jerk face like that. It's Ohio. It's a place where people are still driving around with the shotgun in the pickup window and all that. I'd go dark.
And he fired 2,700 workers.
And that's the thing. I've been fired by Adam Henrys, and I've been fired by people that I felt sorry for the position they were in. There's a way to be fired, and it is true. Be professional, be upfront. The whole thing, that's the minimum that you deserve is to be told I don't think you're 2,700 people are not going to be fired face to face. Okay, that I get, but to open your email at 7 a.m. whenever you wake up and find out you're going to be sleeping in today forever.
Bah humbug.
Yeah. So maybe he realized, wow, I'm a wealthy Ohio businessman. I've never been fired. I don't know what I'm doing. And maybe I'm a jerk. Thing three.
Third thing.
Yeah. So the jobs report in the U.S., the U.S. labor market expected to slow. And the unemployment rate's at 3.7%. The November jobs report will tell us whether the picture is finally changing. Not really. There's still a lot of people that are not looking for jobs. This is in October. 261,000 jobs were added. It's a bit less this month, but it's got nothing to do. Evidently, the interest rate Olympics that have been going on from the Fed haven't affected the red hot job market. There's still a lot of open jobs and people are taking them. It is still the bigger issue is the non-participation thing. And this is the non-farm rate because it's not harvest season. Thing four.
Fourth thing.
Thing four. Elon Musk bans Kanye West over the weekend, or pardon me, overnight, because Kanye West continues to go down the Nazi hole and did so on the Alex Jones InfoWars podcast yesterday. And then he decided that tweeting a swastika combined with the Star of David was really the baller Thursday night move. And so he did that. Elon Musk in a lengthy thread explained why he's, you know, this after saying, hey, look, Twitter is back, free speech is back and all that. And I mean, I agree with that. But then again, I don't follow Kanye West and I think he's just insane. And I don't know, like I've said, I really honestly couldn't name you a song from the guy. It's not my kind of music. I think he's a really smart guy. And I think he's parlayed his fame into shoe brands and that. See how that worked out with Adidas, you know, and the whole thing. But otherwise, I think he's a moron. When he's not being a genius, he's an absolute moron. And I regret the past 45 seconds of even.
Well, and he has some mental health issues, clearly.
On display.
Right. Some diagnosed, some undiagnosed. But what's really sad is when you have, I don't know, $1 billion or something like that, you get any platform you want. And so you can espouse any crazy thing and it can be heard by millions of people. And
a beagle named a crackhead.
Watching this guy's breakdown happen in real time has me less laughing and kind of just more sad at this point.
Like, yeah,
dude, go away.
And it's the other dumb convention that I don't follow is you can't just wake up and change your name. I'm going to call you whatever I want to call you. And you don't have a right to tell me that I have to call you Ye. You know, and so seeing that, I actually saw anchors correct each other this morning. Well, you're taking that seriously. And if you go down to a courthouse and you apply and you change your name, then you can tell me your name is that because legally that's it. But whatever. By the end of today, it's going to be Khan or whatever. Thing 4.5 is I wonder why this is out. The fact that Elon Musk has said that his Neuralink thing. Now I don't quite understand if they're implanting a chip into a human brain and you can now wirelessly control a computer. I don't know. But so he announces that we're 6 months away from human testing. And then all this stuff comes out that in the medical research that he's done for this, legal medical research, it's led to like monkey depression and all this abuse. And people are saying, oh, nearly 30 monkeys were killed. Really? Really? Ask a mascara company how many rabbits, how many monkeys died for your mascara or your lipstick or whatever. But so anyway, that's the big story today is not that this thing is near launch, but all the monkeys killed. That this research has gotten us, and by the way, the research would benefit the blind, the handicapped, you know, and all this, you know, people who don't have full function of limbs. And yeah, that's why we experiment on monkeys. You know, it's their fault for not evolving. Maybe, hey, you monkeys. Maybe you evolve, we won't experiment on you, huh? How about that?
A beagle named a crackhead.
And they do that on beagles, too. It's really sad. Those are animals I can get behind. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Killers non-Christmas songs. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Stutes here. And does everybody remember the case of the twin-engine, small, privately owned commercial cargo aircraft that was diverting for an emergency landing, and then someone found the co-pilot's body in their tree? Remember that? Back in July.
No, I don't recall that.
This happened on July 29th. One guy, a co-pilot on this twin-engine plane that had a tail ramp, his body was found in someone's yard. When the aircraft, which had a landing gear problem, declared an emergency, was told to divert to another airport in North Carolina, the main pilot, the command pilot, said my co-pilot jumped or something. He's not on the plane.
Rings a bell now.
Yeah.
Remember. Yeah.
And so he said, you know, between here and about 10 miles back that way, I didn't see him. And so they narrowed the area down. They found the 23-year-old's body, Charles Hugh Crooks. Well, now we know what happened. And there was a lot of speculation about, they talked to the guy's family about suicide, and he said, no, he loved flying. And so to set the stage, it was a CASA C-212, a Spanish twin-engine aircraft, and it had a tail ramp, just like a C-130 or something. It's got like a clamshell where the upper half folds up into the fuselage and the lower half folds down, and it's used specifically as a commercial skydiving aircraft. And people who free fall jump can just go off the ramp and Bob's your uncle. Now, apparently when the jumpers are off, they raise the ramp and they land and all's well. Well, so the aircraft suffered turbulence. They had this information. And I guess, you know, they could have told us at the time or if someone had asked the right question. But he went aft. He went back in the aircraft to vomit. This almost raises more questions than it answers. So the guy goes back into the fuselage, the cargo area, the jumper area of the aircraft, and he lowered that ramp. And without being harnessed in or anything, he went to vomit into the slipstream of the aircraft.
Ugh.
So, I mean, I got to say, if I'm running a parachute aircraft company, I'm going to bring bags. I'm going to bring puke bags. Now just go off the ramp. You're skydiving anyway, right? But so anyway, that's just according to an autopsy obtained by WRAL in Raleigh. An autopsy after the deadly fall, correct order, concluded that the decedent had gone aft, likely to vomit from the open ramp, and accidentally fell from the aircraft. He'd been flying with another pilot for a private company. The speculation immediately was, oh, it must have been suicide. What? Like, I'm going to wait till I don't want any of the jumpers to see this. And then just mysteriously, but anyway, it encountered turbulence and he did tell the pilot he was not feeling well. And then he said, I'm going aft. The aircraft then, by the way, with the gear up, did a belly landing and all that. So anyway, very, very odd. Today's update on the mysterious Idaho murders is that the father of one of the victims, Kaylee Gonsalves, has an inkling about the victim's behavior. Has an inkling about the victim's behavior difference before the attack. I don't quite get why they pulled that headline at us, but the father of Kaylee Gonsalves of Spokane told Fox News on Thursday that he has an inkling about the victim's behavior. Quote, I do have some inkling that there was some behavior difference. When you commit a crime, you have different behaviors. This was on Martha McCallum yesterday on Fox. And he said he has permission from police to put this out. He says that when asked whether his daughter may have been the target, he adding later he was referring to the behavior of the victims. He said he asked permission from police to put any of that out, which they declined because it would not be beneficial. And I missed the interview from him and only have the Fox story to print out. But he said that he wants to keep the story in the headlines because he wants to make the murderer uncomfortable. And this is because there have been several questions by authorities about why, for instance, he's keeping her Instagram feed up. His claim is that, well, I want to make the murderer uncomfortable. And there's a lot of people saying that it's inappropriate to keep the kind of things that a 19-year-old puts on Instagram, keep that up in her memory. But anyway, so that's the thing. The special master, the phrase, I think Merriam-Webster came up with the word of the year, and it's not special master. I would have nominated special master, by the way, but never mind, because the 11th Circuit Court has struck down yesterday. They panel, three-judge panel from the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals halted the outside review of thousands of documents seized from former President Donald Trump's Florida residence. And so that story can go away. Too bad, though, because that was a good phrase. I think that's in the top 10 for the year. And by the way, you have to hold me to this, Greg, producer Greg. No end of year lists.
Oh, really? You don't like doing that?
I saw the dumbest one, and Drudge had a link to it. The color of the year.
That's a reach.
It's
a stretch.
Yeah, that's great radio, too, huh?
I always like the top 10 movies list, top 10 news stories, top 10 audio sound bites. How could you not love that?
Well, that's a fact. That's going to happen. It's already happening.
But if we
a beagle named a crackhead.
So that one, when Senator Kennedy just went completely off the rails.
Although if we do those lists, it just means more work for me ultimately. So I'll defer to you. Whatever you want to do, I'm game.
Hey, do we all have Kraken fever yet?
Get it to 7 in a row. The troika for Dave Hextall is Beniers, Burakovsky. Beniers moves in. Scores!
Whammy! So anyway, got to play the foghorn.
Seventh win in a row, 7 seconds into overtime, they get the winning goal last night. Some fun hockey.
Yeah, which is what they did down in L.A. for the 9-8, the home run derby that they had done in L.A. So
we like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl. We like sports and we don't care who knows.
Football, tennis, hockey, golf.
And once again, the story that's going to be leading the news today is that Kanye West has gone soft on Nazis.
I've said it, the most Nazi-like activities I've seen, and the Nazis, in my view, were thugs that shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Okay, we're going to get to that.
So, I mean, that's
no God.
That's what's so funny is that you agree to you go on the Alex Jones show on InfoWars and you actually turn the crazy up, you know, on that one. And that's that, you know, that's the funny thing is, you know, if you say, yeah, but jet engines or whatever. You're not supposed to talk about that because they did no good things because, boy, Hitler really overshadowed the whole jet transportation thing. But just to look in the mirror and be honest with this, the official whitewashing of people who could build rockets that could get us to the moon, that was done with, I mean, Wernher von Braun is a folk hero amongst engineers and at NASA. And NASA, say what you will about NASA, but the first politicizing thing they did was whitewashing a dyed-in-the-wool Nazi. Von Braun. So, anyway, but sorry, Kanye. Don't mean to diss the Nazis. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. And does anyone out there actually think that your data is not out there somewhere, that someone cannot find everything about you? I'm not. But anyway, locally, a Linwood-based debt collection company is being sued for compromising the names and social security information of more than 3.7 million individuals in a data breach back in April of last year. Seattle area company allegedly compromised data of, anyway. So there's, I know a Redmond-based company that probably 20 years ago may have compromised mine. But
I had a creepy moment.
I'm not naming names. You have to sift through the clues on that one.
Just yesterday, I had one of those they're always watching me moments. I was scrolling Instagram, which I try to limit to once a day, and a clip from the show Home Improvement pops up. Like, I don't know what algorithm thing caused it to come to my phone, but here's what I realized. I've been watching Home Improvement on Hulu with my kids, some of the episodes, you know, Tim the Toolman Taylor, family show. Okay, we're always looking for entertainment we can consume together as a family. I swear to you, we watched a random episode, like season 3, episode 8.
Of Home Improvement?
Of Home Improvement from the 90s. I'm scrolling Instagram, Scout's Honor, a clip from season 3, episode 8 pops up on Instagram from the episode we had just watched. Random show from the 90s. And I'm thinking, who the heck has its eyes on me all day long? How could they have gotten the exact episode that I just watched with my kids and show me a clip from on Instagram as I'm randomly scrolling? Isn't that insane?
I don't want to believe it, but I think that I don't have the app on my Android, and I'm not going to wake it up and ask live on the radio. Uh-huh. But I promise you, the phone, when you sign into Googly or whatever, it is listening to you in the car.
Well, yeah, they say, oh, no, it's just data, and you sign something, you sign your life away, and we can grab your data. But I don't know. I think the mic is always turned on.
Yeah, I assume so. And that's where, like, the nut guy who killed the people at the Walmart, one of his crazy runs and rants that he would do is people would say, why is there duct tape over your phone microphone? And he would go off on that. It's like, well, okay, you know, say what you will about crazy mass killer, but he may have had a point, and others who have not done mass shootings have said the same thing. And this I can tell you, do not buy anything. If you're on Instagram, get off of Instagram. However, once you're on, you know, you've unleashed the Kraken, and just don't buy anything off Instagram, because it will absolutely... You know, if you're thinking, oh, it's just a place to trade photos and all that, not after you buy anything off it.
And here's something I can't recommend highly enough to our listeners. This one time, this was years ago, I saw an interview with Mark Zuckerberg, and he had his laptop.
And the camera out, was
And the camera
taped
had
over.
A piece of tape over it. You can go on the webs and buy a webcam cover slide for your computer. I bought like 4 of them for all my devices in my house. And I always keep that thing closed because hackers can hack into your camera and just start recording. If you've got a device with a camera on it, it's susceptible to people hacking into it.
Absolutely, especially if you're in a radio studio and one of those is on. Right, that's why I put a post-it over it. So anyway, the father of Kaylee Gonsalves from Spokane, one of the 4 murdered, I was talking about her or him talking about the fact that he doesn't feel like the police are pushing the suspect enough. One of the second funeral for Zanna Kernodle, who was the girlfriend of the kid from Arlington who was killed and buried over the weekend, her funeral is coming up, and people are openly talking about, well, maybe the murderer will go to the funeral. It's like, well, not now. He won't. But here's a little bit of him talking to a Fox yesterday.
Yeah. Lawrence, a couple things here. Kaylee's father was on with Martha just yesterday. And I mean, you mentioned the frustration. Listen to this in his voice. I'll play it for you now.
I don't like it one bit. I know these statements take like hours and multiple individuals to review. It's not like this was something said on the side of the street within the first 5 hours of the case. I mean, these guys are professionals. They sat in a room and this is what they came out with. And they keep coming out with statements that create more questions than the answer.
Clearly you can
so far correct about that, but anyway, 0-2. The as I was saying before the break, there's a lot of frustration on the part of law enforcement right now because there's a lot of very, very basic stuff that they don't want to be the ones to release it. But the takeaway is this: these days, a lot of undergraduate girls in college have a completely different life online because they're being compensated for that. And the police don't want to come out with that or talk about that aspect of this because people are saying, well, what was their routine? They went to a taco truck. They went to a roach coach at 2 a.m. And all that. Okay, well, that's what they were photographed in the real world. But online, there's a different world. And we as the gap generation, the ones who didn't make money on the internet with anything, I need to have a talk with our girls before they go to college. That's what I'll say about that. And I think I showed you, Greg, the photo I showed you. Does that belong? Should memorize? And that's at the time that picture was taken. She was 17. I'm saying names or nothing, but
if you're a father of a daughter, start talking about social media and posts on social media early and often in their lives.
Yeah,
because during those impressionable years specifically, my wife has nannied for a number of junior high and even high school girls. And oh, my goodness, the amount of crap that is out there and the pressure on young girls to post stuff and get likes, and the more, you know, salacious or revealing the post. Ah, wow, way more traction on this one. Weird. And I got 50 more new followers because I posted a bikini photo or something. My daughter's not even going to get close to
no. And this is, you know, when I had no idea what forever was when I was 18. You know, that's why you're an infantryman when you're 18, because if you ask me when I'm 28 or 38, I'm like, hell no. But so you can't talk to them about, oh, the internet's forever, you know. They don't know what forever means. And that's one aspect of this case, and I'm being very obtuse. And I'm talking around this, but it's very much an aspect of this case, and nobody is talking about it. And it's not victim shaming, but it's, you know, oddly enough, the internet is accessible by weirdos, Greg. There's no like, you know, the CAPTCHA thing. Are you a robot? Pick out the stop signs, you know, and all that. No, there's nothing like that for weirdos. And so,
can you explain what internet is?
So I mean, till they come up with that, till they come up with an eye scan for are you a weirdo or not? That's just how that is. And that's what my daughter has specifically talked about, that she's not on, you know, Instagram, never on Facebook, doesn't even have her, mm-hmm. you know, a Facebook, and all this, absolutely nothing. And she doesn't want anything. Like, and I said, good for you. Really good for you. I got her full name as a domain. I own that because I do think that's something that if you don't own yours, you should get on it. Yeah. And that's a down the road thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she, they, them, you know, whatever it is this week, will thank me for that. But luckily, organically, she doesn't like what her friends put up on them. You know, her friends are 14 and 15.
Right.
And she has enough of a sense of like, yeah, you don't put that up. And, you know, so I would just tell, you know, parents, you know, don't make it a thing. Don't sit them down with mom and dad holding hands saying we're very concerned about your semi-nude TikTok feed. Just explain to them that none of their friends right now are going to be their friends 5 years from now.
That's a sad thing to explain to your child.
And then the other really crappy thing about this is that they, you know, kids can monetize this. And it, strictly speaking, I gotta say, like that picture I showed you, how does a picture of a 17-year-old in that state, how does that stay on Instagram? You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. So
because it's a moneymaker for them and sometimes for the person who posts it.
Yeah.
It's all about revenue.
You know, and so this is where it is funny. It's not just athletes. If you don't know this, you know, the NCAA has said, OK, athletes can profit from their own likeness, image or name, the LIN, as it's called. And so that's a big, big reason that you know, an athlete chooses Texas over Eastern Washington or something like that, because the cachet and the marketing that playing volleyball at Texas will give you. You know, we're talking about freshman athletes, 18, 19, making a million a month off of TikTok. You know, if you've got 10 million viewers or more, you know, going to college for that purpose. But non-athletes can do it too. All you have to do is be hot. Those are your qualifications, and you can monetize at the age of 18 or 19. It's just as I say, at the other end, there's no filter for the weirdos. Back in a second, our final hour, always the bang up hour. We got to wrap up all the sound of the week, more obscure Christmas songs, a whole bunch of stuff coming up right after this. AM 770 KTTH.